I just might get put in jail.
Listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio.
The way I see it, Barry, this should be a very dynamite show.
Water.
bit of nostalgia for the old folks.
I'm advocating dark clothes. If I'm not alone, how long have I been asleep? As long as I have.
Did you ever live in a drum?
No.
Well, then you weren't me.
I only dreamt I lived in a drum. Ever since...
Keep switching girls all the time, because if I'm able to find a girl with really a groovy car that I can build up, man, I'll go steady with her for a while until I build up her car and blow up the engine. I worked in a cheesy newspaper company for a while, but that was terrible. I wasn't making enough money to build anything. And then I worked in a printing company and a couple gas stations. Oh, at the gas station where I was working, my brother had just gotten married. And he'd bought a new car, and his wife was having a kid and all this miserable stuff. And he needed a job, so I gave him a job at the gas station, which I was fired because, you know, he was going to work there. And he had his car on the rack, and he was lubing it and changing tires and everything all the time. And so he got fired because he was goofing off, man. And he just kept taking parts and working on his car day and night. So he lost that job. And I went to work at another gas station. He took that one, you know, so he could feed the kids and that. Then I went to work in an aircraft company. And I was building these planes. I worked on the XB-70. I was the last welder on there. Yeah, but it was pretty good bread because I was making $2.71 an hour. I'm making $1.25 a week. And, yeah, it was good enough money to be working on, so I got an Oldsmobile, a groovy Olds. But I was going with this chick at the time. By the time I got the Olds running decently, she went out and tore up the engine and the trans, and, you know, her and her girlfriends get in there and booze it up and tear up the seats. Just ripped the seats completely out. So I got a 56 Olds, which was this one chick that I was going with. And we used to drive that all over the place, and finally she got rid of that. And I got another pickup.
Bye. Let's do this again.
I hear you've been having trouble with pigs and ponies.
That's very distraught now.
Everything in the universe is made of one element, which is a nut. A single nut. Atoms are really vibrations, you know, which are extensions of the big note. Everything's one note. Everything. Even the ponies. The note, however, is the ultimate power. But see, the pigs don't know that. The ponies don't know that.
You need just wait.
Right. Thank you.
teeth out there and ready to attack him. I had to fight back and hit him, like, you know, hit him and hit him and hit him and kick him and kick him.
Did
and
he get on top of you?
No, I fought so back, hard back, and it was
hard back.
White.
White?
Yeah, white ugliness.
Did it have teeth?
And it was two boogeymen on the side, and we were already block entrance. I had to kick out the fight to four or five boogeymen in front of me.
But maybe he can turn into Motorhead, maybe be a tail.
Yes.
But I don't know, I heard those ponies are really vicious.
I know. But I know they're vicious, but
his claws.
And then he just might be able to
do
it.
They get on top of you and they just tear you apart.
I know.
Scars
over here.
Teeth to them.
See? Scars
teeth to
here.
Them. I mean, yeah. Toad or tail.
Well, I hope they don't get him. Ponies.
White? You sure it wasn't white? I mean,
well,
black?
I think they're white, but I was too scared to notice their
gold
physical.
Or something?
I was too scared to notice their physical appearance because they were attacking me. They were attacking me.
What were they doing to you?
Oh, they were surrounding me, everything else, and they were attacking me. And I had to fight back, fight, and fight back, and pick up sticks.
Pick up sticks?
Yes, pick up sticks.
I used to play that game, pick up sticks.
Me too. Did you ever play that game?
Yeah,
that's funny.
Anyway, back to the horse, and the pony.
Nah.
Anyway.
Yes. Pony.
President.
Pope or something. I don't know. It's something out there. It's dangerous.
Could be a cigar or something.
Yeah.
Cigar?
A cigar? Nah, you're insane. Come on.
No. I remember when I was, I don't remember. Those were the days.
Boy, you must be. Oh, your life.
That was
down
before
here.
The days of those horses.
Yeah, it's before the days of the ponies or boogeyman or something. What's out there?
But then there was a. What was it then?
No pimples?
No, I'm dead.
Sure.
Positively. You had to have them.
No.
You got one right in your nose right now.
Scratching me.
Boy, I'm getting tired, man. We should,
yes.
We should go to sleep.
Oh,
I just hope he comes back.
Yes.
I think I'll
Listen,
pray for him.
I think I'll join you.
You do yours and I'll do mine.
Okay.
We hope for the best.
Hope for the best, Motorhead.
Now I lay me down to sleep. Amen.
Effect on the ponies' manes, you know, the thing on their neck.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the pony's mane starts to get good in the back, any sort of like motion, especially of a smoke or gas, begins to make the ends split.
Well, don't the splitting ends change the density of the pony's music so it affects the density of the pig's music, which makes the smoke move, which upsets the pigs?
No, it isn't like that.
Well, how does it work?
Well, what it does is when it strikes any sort of energy field or solid object or even something as ephemeral as smoke, the first thing it does is begins to inactivate the molecular motion so that it slows down and finally stops. That's why the smoke stops. And also, have you ever noticed how the smoke clouds shrink up when it does that? That's because the molecules come closer together. It gets much smaller, and the cold light makes it get so small that it becomes very, very dense and brittle. This is really brittle smoke.
And that's why the pigs don't want you to touch it.
See, when the smoke gets that brittle, what happens when you try to move it is it disintegrates.
And the pigs get uptight because you know they worship that smoke. They salute it every day.
You know, we've got
And that's the basis of all their nationalism. Like, if they can't salute the smoke every morning when they get up.
Yeah, it's a vicious circle. You got it.
Drums are too noisy, you got no corners to hide in.
So when she's beating him over the nose with a tire iron, and then we'll both jump away and disappear, and the pig will turn around and there'll be this pony. Oh no, man, kangaroos.
And then they eat it when they get home.
If it's still alive. Thank you.
envelops the bathtub.
Star Trek TV series began, Leonard Nimoy found his way to KPFK in Los Angeles in 1963 to direct Oscar Wilde's Salome for radio. How did it turn out? Check out the Pacifica Radio Archives from the vault Wednesday morning at 5.
Welcome to Isla Earth. Veterinarians at the San Diego Zoo who breed white rhinoceroses are finding themselves, well, on the horns of a dilemma. Their female white rhinos aren't reproducing, and no one's sure why. There are five species of rhinos, In the wilds of Africa, the southern subspecies of white rhinos numbers about 17,000. As for their sibling, northern white rhino, they're now believed to be extinct in the wild. When they're first captured, female white rhinos reproduce, no problem, but their captive-born daughters don't. And with most moms at retirement age, researchers worldwide say breeding white rhinos in captivity might soon become impossible. It's not like the females look down their noses at males. Instead, something unknown is happening. It could be from diet, enclosure size, timing of sexual maturity, or other factors. And each possibility breeds its own hypotheses. But those hypotheses could be tested given enough historical data on captive rhinos. So the San Diego Zoo vets are collecting data from rhino researchers worldwide, including from game reserves in Africa. From that, they hope to pinpoint a solution and get these endangered rhinos thriving. You can help. Learn more at islaearth.org. Isla Earth is recorded on the campus of California State University, San Bernardino, and produced by the Catalina Island Conservancy, because Earth is an island.
It's fun to do that, and by that I mean play all of Lumpy Gravy on the radio, because you can, because it's community radio. It's what it's about doing stuff for the community. You, me, our children, our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, homeless people, all part of the community. I'm Benjamin. This is the Paragon Radio program. Good morning. It's a solid 22 minutes before 1 o'clock in the a.m. here in Kansas City, as you find yourself listening at 90.1 FM, or you could just be universal. You could be one of those people who's listening to us online at kkfi.org, and you could be anywhere, anywhere. I know most of you that are listening right now are in prison, so what's up to the cell block? What's up, my homies on the inside? Living that privately run prison life. I hope the food's good. I know it's not, but I hope it is. And maybe you have some smuggled contraband to help pass the time or whatever. I mean, that's what people do on the outside. We also have our contraband. It helps us pass the time. Human beings need it. They need some sort of release of something. Creative energies, something along those lines. Well, it's great to be here yet again with you as we are doing a radio show for the community in the middle of the night, live for you to call in and enjoin. But you don't have to just call in. You can also text in at the non-corporately sponsored KKFI Paragon Radio text line, where you're almost guaranteed to have your text expletive deleted read on the air. 816-301-5731. That's about as much technology as you're going to get out of yours truly. I don't Facebook, and on occasion I Twitter, but nobody really cares how many squares I used when I went to the bathroom. That doesn't matter. Is that a concern for you? Should I tweet a picture of my morning latte? Would anyone care? I would hope not. I really would. I would really like to think that nobody would care. But, you know, we live in a world where everyone cares. And things are very accessible. Very, very accessible. I was listening to an interview with a rock and roll musician, somebody who's kind of famous. He's not MTV famous, but a fairly well-known person who was talking about in this day and age, in this digital day and age, you know, like rock stars, celebrities. But rock stars kind of more specific because those are celebrities that it's cool to be into. I mean, if you're totally, if you're like really into James Franco or something, it's just lame, okay? I'm not even really sure who James Franco is. I'm kind of out of the loop a little bit. I don't watch the TV. Oh my God, we got a text. See, here we go. The non-corporately sponsored KKFI text line. Where did that text come from? Yeah, chilling at work, party hardy. I don't know if those are the prison guards or what, but that's from Jeff, Steve, and Jesse. All right, so chilling at work. If you want to text in at the non-corporately sponsored KKFI Paragon Radio text line, it's 816-301-5731. You are welcome to do that. We'll hear a little dingle every time somebody does. I'm out of the loop. I don't pay attention to the celebrity BS. Like something named Peaches Geldof died, and apparently Peaches was into heroin. I mean, how is this part of my life at all? It's not, is the answer. Is what that comes down to. It's not a part of my life. But this musician was talking about how much more accessible, like rock stars are. Rock stars used to be, you know, on pedestals, and they were mythical and godlike. And now they tweet what they had for breakfast. You get live updates of what they did with their children throughout the day. Where you used to have to wait until the rock, you know, biography was published, you know, years later. I mean, it wasn't until, I mean, all the stories of Led Zeppelin were just that. They were mythology and stories until, you know, Stairway to Heaven was published, and that was like in 1990-something. All these exploits haven't taken place 20-plus years earlier. But it's how social media and our technological time have allowed us to have insight and a view into what's going on in these so-called celebrities' lives. And it's kind of taken the rock star down off the pedestal. We don't really have rock stars like we used to. I have the Stars website open in my browser right now. And if you look to the bottom right, they have the upcoming events for Kansas City. Now, okay, so Miranda Lambert, Justin Moore, and Thomas Rhett, I'm assuming these are country musicians, will be at the Cricket Wireless Amphitheater, which I'm pretty sure is Sandstone. Pretty sure the Cricket Wireless Amphitheater is Sandstone. But the Platinum Tour is coming, and Brad Paisley is coming. There's nothing else coming to Sandstone upcoming that is noteworthy on the Stars website. And then you go a little farther down, and you go, okay, so Queens of the Stone Age and Primus are going to be at Starlight, yank, yank, and Rockfest is going to have Korn with a K. More of those yank yanks. See, because it doesn't even exist anymore. This mythology of the rock star doesn't exist because things have changed. There are no rock stars. I mean, America had to get talent, stuff like that. Find some idolatry, American idolatry, anyone. We don't have these great rock stars anymore. We just have these hacks from, you know, generations past. Primus, really, Les Claypool? Can you put down that bass? And all you kids out there that love the Primus, kids, all you grown-ups now who love the Primus, it always made me a little nauseous. I don't need to hear that many bass notes at once. It's okay. I don't care what your name is, Mud. things have changed, and that's okay. But I don't Facebook and I don't Twitter. I don't do those things. But we do have the non-corporately sponsored KKFI text line at 816-301-5731. Or you can call in 816-931-5534. That's 931-KKFI. We as human beings have gone through many a revolution. We are on the precipice of a new revolution. I hope, anyway. And it will be the one to synergize all previous revolutions into one so we can really move forward as human beings. And it won't matter what a guy like Donald Sterling says in private to one of his paid-for whores. None of that's going to matter at all. That won't matter whatsoever. Okay, here's another text from the non-corporately sponsored Crapola text line. I'm not sure what that means. Tell Russ not to call in, not to call the hell in tonight. United States Postal Service is sinking because of the Republican control of Congress and racist U.S. midterm elections! Exclamation point. I don't think that's why the post office sucks. I really don't, D2. I don't think that's what it is. And Russ, you know D2, you really want Russ to call in. You wouldn't be able to hate him if he didn't call in. So, Russ, you're expected to call in at some point tonight. As are other people. Brother Love needs to call in and call me proud of the problem, white devil, that kind of thing. Because I don't think that Donald Sterling, the disgraced and current owner, soon to be divested of the Clippers. Yeah, D2 calls back with, or texts back with a little hee-hee-hee-hee, because he knows I'm right. And he's way into Russ, and his evening would be incomplete without a check-in from Russ, where Russ could tell us about what he trolled on Huffington Post this week, and how neo-Nazis are a real problem somewhere. Maybe not in America, because they're not. Not a real problem in America. I'm sure we got problems with race in America. There's no doubt about that. Neo-Nazism is not one of them. If there's a problem with Nazism in America, it's good old-fashioned Nazism. Good old-fashioned fascism. Good old fascism, as I should say. Rearing its ugly head again. Donald Sterling is a racist, and who cares is the point. Who cares? You're not supposed to care. One crusty old white dude, doesn't mean nothing, okay? And then fall into a trap. We fell into the trap last week on this radio show talking about it ad nauseum. And it's important to talk about because if you look at what happened last night in Kansas City, in Westport, and in the power to be white district, you saw a lot of violence. There were shootings, there were fights, beatings, all kinds of things. All kinds of activities taking place. And some of them seemed to have a racial motivation or a racial component to them. Now, you can't say that this is a direct cause and effect from the whole brouhaha over Donald Sterling and the Clippers and his bigoted and prejudiced and extremely ignorant comments that were made in private. Everyone forgets that he was at his house saying those things. But seemingly there was a lot of racial tension in Westport and down at the Power to Be White District. And I think that those are currents, those are themes that have always kind of been, if not in the foreground, in the background in these places. And of course, you look at a place like Westport, which is an entertainment district, which has gone through several incarnations. It seems to be having some, they're calling it a renaissance right now, the Westport Renaissance. And you have all these new establishments going in there, all these new drinking establishments and restaurants and development. But really, you don't have... I mean, it's just about getting wasted. I mean, that's what's always surprised me about Westport. There is very little, if any, live music space in Westport. I mean, you got a couple of spots. You got the Riot Room, right? They have a stage. You used to have Beaumont, which could do large shows. I mean, shows of over 1,000 people, that kind of thing. Don't really have a lot of venue space to have musical acts. So you don't have much more entertainment beyond I'm getting wasted. You know, which is, sure, there's entertainment in drinking 30 beers. I mean, there's entertainment in consuming 10 Red Bulls and vodka. Sure, there's entertainment in having a whole bunch of Jägermeister. But it's not constructive necessarily, and it certainly has very little or nothing to do with artistic expression. And sometimes, just maybe, it might result in some violence. Because that's what alcohol does. Now, if Westport was one big marijuana dispensary, if there were marijuana dispensaries ringing Westport and right in the middle was a large Quick Trip with constantly freshened donut selections, it would be a different situation altogether. Because I think marijuana might be a way to bridge the racial divide. Because everyone likes to smoke weed, let's be honest. White people, black people, Mexican people, maybe the Asian people, I don't really know. I don't know about maybe the, maybe I could be wrong about that. Alcohol seems to inflame the problems. And so last weekend was a rough, you know, last Saturday was rough, the Power to Be White District and Westport, with a lot of violence, shootings, and some seemingly racial, you know, confrontations between people of different cultures. Because, you know, that's what it is. We're not, I mean, no, really, in America, we have different cultures. I mean, there's, and everyone has two cultures, generally speaking. There's people that have kind of if you grew up within white culture, then you're immersed in white culture. And that, I don't know, there's plenty of black people or Latin people, Asian people who have grown up within white culture and are just a part of that. Lots of people who grew up within black culture who may not be black. Like a couple of white guys grow up in black culture, that kind of thing. We have these cultural differences that can be generalized racially. Black people, white people, cultural differences. Then you also have like American culture. Which you could be from, you could be from white culture, you could be from black culture, but then there's also American culture that you're a part of as well. All differences. And similarities, which is good. And we need to focus on our similarities and not our differences. But then you see this story where we talk about, you know, tensions between these cultures, cultural differences coming to a head, alcohol involved, violence ensues, that kind of thing. And this story, Cordish claims it was defamed by lawyers for a former Power and Light District Club manager. Now, these stories are coming out that Cordish, which is the Baltimore, Maryland-based management and property firm that runs the Power to Be White District, was employing what they call rabbits to go in to the common areas and the clubs of the Power to Be White District and cause confrontation. Rabbits would be white people. And this lawsuit that is a wrongful termination lawsuit put forth by a former manager named Glenn Cusimano, who was a manager of a club called Mosaic, which I'm not familiar with because I never go to the Power to Be White District. It's not for me. That was not that whole thing down there was not built for the residents of Kansas City. It was built for tourists from Omaha or something like that. And apparently, you know, some folks to make those tourists from Omaha feel really uncomfortable. But apparently they were using rabbits, which is a term I'm not familiar with. Mike just walked in the studio.
Good morning, Kansas.
Are you familiar with rabbits, Mike?
Not familiar with that term.
Have you read this story?
Well, I haven't read the latest update.
Rabbits are, for members of the news media, so the lead attorney for this fired manager of a club called Mosaic alleged that rabbits were white people employed by Cordish that were used to provoke altercations with black people as an excuse to eject minorities from the district clubs in 2012 and 2013. Now, the whole idea of there being an issue, I mean, this goes all the way back to Jason, what was the name of the sports columnist for the Star? Jason Whitlock.
Yeah.
Jason Whitlock almost got excluded. I mean, this is, you know, we're taking, you know, 6 years ago, seven years ago. He wrote a story where he was on the he was at the Power to Be White district with a couple of his friends who were also black, you know. And Jason Whitlock is a, you know, I guess a respected
celebrity in the city.
Sure, a respected member of the media, right? I mean, he's on ESPN. I mean, he's a national guy now. And he's, you know, he's like, I'm well dressed. You know, we're going out on a Saturday night. Of course, I'm well dressed. He got his Kangol hat on or something like that, and he's, you know, looking good. And he almost doesn't get, you know, one of his crew, almost as part of his entourage, doesn't get admitted to a club. And he kind of has to, you know, explain to the bouncer, and he says this in this op-ed that I read a long, long time ago. It's like, you know, I'm the kind of guy that writes about stuff in the newspaper.
Right, you kind of want to.
You kind of not, you don't want to mess with me because I'm just going to write about this, just so you know, just so we're clear here. You know, you're kind of being stupid right now. But this
and
is the
that's not even a do you know who I am kind of thing. That's just a, like.
Just to be fair,
that's who I am. I write about this stuff.
I'm going to be writing about this specific event, and you're being stupid by playing this game with me or anyone else, because I guess that's the whole point. And I remember really kind of having issue with this idea that they were picking and choosing who would be going to the Power to Be White district and KC Live and that whole thing, because it was built with taxpayer dollars, you know? And I don't care who you are in Kansas City, everyone pays taxes. You know, if you're not paying the earnings tax because you don't have a job, you're still paying the sales tax because you're buying stuff. I mean, very few of us, you know, even the unemployed out there, still pay taxes. I mean, everyone buys stuff. Even the unemployed, even the people with very little funds, have a couple of dollars, and it gets put
and
up.
Ultimately, they're part of the community.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the
whole damn thing was built with
right. City
money for the
for
benefit
the
of the people. I mean, you know, come on. I know the Power to Be White district wasn't built for the residents of Kansas City. I mean, the city of Kansas City doesn't do a lot of development for the people of Kansas City. Proactive development for, I mean, they say the toy train is going to be that, right? But we'll see.
Right.
We'll see.
It'll get you from the Power and Light District to
No. Union Station to City Market. That's the toy train.
But it'll stop.
The first phase.
Right?
phase.